Good morning. My name's Jen. Welcome if you're visiting this morning or if you're returning. Please grab a Bible. It will be in front of you. It will be behind you. It might be to the side of you. And please turn to page 930. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 to about 22. So on page 930 in the church Bibles. My tech man's just gone. There we go. Okay. And when you're ready, have a look at the screen. Anyone know who that is? Who? Oh, yeah, okay. So this is Jose Mourinho. For those of you who aren't football fans, he's a football manager who has won a lot of trophies all around Europe. I wonder how you would summarise this guy. So I heard the special one. This is how others have described him. They've said he's underrated as a manager. They've called him a conductor. Other people have said he's lucky. This is how he describes himself, the special one. One of the greatest managers in the world. No one actually called him humble. Okay, what about this guy? I don't know if you'll know him. So this is Mr. Boris Johnson. Let's start off with how he describes himself. So a couple of quotes. He describes himself as a very, very bad Christian. Describes himself as a king. Describes himself as a booster rocket. This is how other people describe Mr. Boris Johnson. Humorous. A buffoon. Witty. Untrustworthy. Incompetent. A liar. The list goes on. So what people say about a person and what a person says about themselves influences to some extent who we think that they are. And we're starting a new series today looking about Jesus and what he says about himself, but also what other people say about him. And we're going to ask ourselves, who do we really think Jesus is? Who do we really think Jesus is? And so we're going to kick off this morning and read Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 to 22. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this is not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of death will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Okay, so Jesus has been doing some amazing stuff. He's been healing, he's been teaching, he's been training his friends who are called the disciples. He's been meeting people with problems, and he's just fed a massive crowd of people with not a lot of resources. And his closest friends, the disciples, they've been with him completely throughout. They've seen with their own eyes what he's done. They've heard with their own ears what he said. And they've also seen and heard the reactions of other people round about. And so Jesus and his 12 closest friends draw away from the crowds and from the hustle and from the bustle, and they land up at Caesarea Philippi, which is one of the most non-Jewish places in Jesus' time. It was a place that was surrounded with Roman and Greek gods and idols and statues. Places where the Gentiles, the non-Jews, would come and worship. And it's in that situation and that setting that Jesus has this conversation with his friends. And he says, verse 13, to his close friends, "What's the word on the street? What are people saying? Who do people say the Son of Man, a name for Jesus, actually is?" Now, we don't get told what prompted the question, why Jesus is asking it. We know that he's not having an identity crisis because he knows exactly who he is. But he asks them that question. And this is how they respond. They say, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets that have come back from the dead." See, the crowds clearly saw that there was something different about Jesus. They'd seen amazing things. They'd seen Jesus, the one who calmed the storm. He'd healed people. He confronted religious leaders. He was teaching amazing stuff, and not only teaching it, but living it out in his own life. And the crowds were trying to find an explanation for that. And the only sense they could make of it was, wait, maybe he is one of those prophets, come back from the dead, reincarnated. Maybe he is John the Baptist who previously, not that long ago, had been beheaded and killed. They're trying to understand the miracles that he had performed and the words that he said, and said, "Well, that's kind of like Elijah and the prophets of old." See, people understood the prophets. The prophets made sense to them. They were messengers of God. They knew about Elijah, so they decided, right, we're going to put this Jesus guy into that box because that makes sense to us. But in doing that, what they were actually doing was shrinking Jesus down and turning him into someone of their own understanding rather than who Jesus actually was. If you used to read this account in the book of Luke, it says just before it that King Herod himself was wrestling with who Jesus was. He had heard all that the crowd was saying about Jesus, but he was utterly perplexed because the crowd was saying he was John the Baptist, and yet King Herod was responsible for John being beheaded and dying. Herod could see similarities between John the Baptist and Jesus, but he knew it wasn't John, and so he is confused. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? It stirred Herod's mind and it stirred his mouth to say words about who is Jesus, but it didn't cause him to follow. And it's easy to think, is it not, as we sit here in this very hot hall, how could they do that? How could they have seen everything they saw of Jesus and what he did? How could they hear all the words that Jesus had spoken and conclude that he was a prophet coming back from the dead? And yet for us, how often do we actually shrink Jesus down to be someone of our own understanding? And actually we strip him of all his power and we make him something that he isn't. We make him a glorified version of ourselves. Or perhaps we turn Jesus into like a pocket-sized genie, just sits in the pocket until when I'm in dire straits and I've exhausted all my resources and done everything I can, I pull him out and say, "Oh, actually, I need some help now." Or maybe we reduce Jesus' teaching down to that of just some kind of spiritual guru whose words aren't life-changing and aren't powerful, but actually something that should be on an Instagram post. And we get influenced by the crowds around us. And that impacts who we think Jesus really is. And look at Jesus' response. He doesn't comment on the opinions of the crowd. He doesn't say, "Oh, that's strange," or he doesn't say, "That's wrong." But he addresses his friends directly in verse 15. He says, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" Moving from a general question to a more specific and direct one. See, the knowledge of Jesus is always one of personal discovery. And this question that Jesus asks his friends is going to be a question that everyone one day will have to answer. Who do you say that I am? And look at Simon Peter, the one who stands up to be a spokesman again. He says, verse 16, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now that is a big call to make. Verse 17, Jesus says, you know that, not because he's been revealed to you through flesh and blood, but through my Father in heaven. And so for Peter, on the evidence so far, long before the crucifixion and a resurrection, he concludes that Jesus is God's Son. He says that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the rescuer that the Jews have been waiting for. He doesn't say what kind of Messiah he was going to be. It's kind of like they don't really know, because look, Jesus goes on in verses 21 and 22 to tell them exactly what kind of Messiah he's going to be. He says, verse 21, that this Messiah must suffer and die. And that word must, the Greek for that is, it's necessary that I suffer and that I die. And verse 22, the disciples found that hard to accept. They didn't fully grasp it themselves. And then he goes on, verse 20, he gives them strict orders to not tell anyone. Bit strange, you think, gosh, if you're the Messiah and the Son of the living God, why wouldn't you want everyone knowing that? Maybe it's because he didn't want to be misunderstood. See, the Jews were longing for a day where they would be free from Roman occupation. And actually, almost anyone claiming to be the Messiah would cause them to follow. And that had Jesus been hailed the Messiah, actually, people might have misunderstood and thought he was someone of political or military significance. And actually, they would have completely missed what he was trying to teach them. And so the crowds, they say that Jesus is a prophet. His friends say Jesus is the Son of God. But who does Jesus say that he is? If you want to flick to John chapter 8, it's on page 1015 in your Bibles. See, everyone round about Jesus is trying to understand who this guy is and what he's doing. And the Jewish leaders are amongst those people. They're trying to understand who Jesus is, and Jesus is having a to and fro with them, a bit of a debate, and it culminates in them saying this in chapter 8, verse 52, who do you think you are? Now, there's different ways that you can ask that question. Who do you think you are? But I can imagine for what was going on with the Jewish leaders and Jesus, it would have been more of an accusation. Who do you think you are? Jesus doesn't let it go. He tells him exactly who he thinks he is. Look at verse 58 of chapter 8. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Now that might sound slightly strange to you. Before Abraham was, I am. See, the words I am are part of our English language. Hopefully they are. But actually, to the Jewish people, those two words were the name of God. See, years before, God spoke to Moses, and he told him to lead the Jews out of Egypt. And Moses was getting a little bit nervous about that, and he said to God in Exodus 3, he said, what if I go to the Jewish people and tell them your plan, and they want to know your name, God? What will I tell them? And God replies in Exodus 3, verse 14, he says, this is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. I am. The Hebrew Yahweh name for God was a personal name for God. The eternal, unchanging one, the glorious one above and beyond all of creation. I am was the name that God used to identify himself, the one who came to redeem his people from slavery and bring them into a new life. See, Jesus saying before Abraham was, I am, would have been absolutely shocking to the religious leaders and to anyone else listening on. See, Jesus wasn't saying, I'm a prophet, I'm a messenger of God. He wasn't saying, I'm a great teacher. Right there and then, in front of their faces, he was saying, I am God. And using those two words was such a pivotal moment in Jesus' ministry. Those two words Jesus was claiming before the religious leaders, before anyone who had their ear on that conversation, that he was the divine, eternal, infinite, perfect God of all creation. Fully God and fully human. Colossians 1 says, Jesus was the image of the invisible God. So how did the Pharisees, the ones who knew everything there was to know about this kind of God stuff, how did they respond? Well, Jesus' claim was utterly offensive to their worldview. See, the happy-go-lucky teacher that sometimes Jesus is portrayed to be, he caused anger so great that the religious leaders wanted Jesus and his message gone. What did they do? Immediately, verse 59, they picked up stones to kill him. Now, it's not those kind of tiny pebbles that kids kind of play around with. They had intent on finishing Jesus off. That's how offensive Jesus' words were to their worldview. I wonder this morning, are we a bit like the Pharisees? We might not say it out loud, but actually we think that we know everything there is to know about God. And actually, in the midst of that, we miss enjoying the mystery of God. See, it is possible to know things about God, but it's highly unlikely that all there is to know about God can be captured by you or can be captured by me. And so, friends, over the years, lots have been said about Jesus. He's a prophet. He's the Son of God. He's a bloke with out-of-date teaching. He's fictitious. He's kind of made up. Let me ask you this morning, who do you say that Jesus is? And I mean, who do you say he really is? We're starting a series where we're going to be looking at who Jesus says that he is. Seven statements in John, all starting with the words, I am. Echoing the ultimate claim that Jesus is God. And then Jesus follows those words in those statements, the I am, with a picture or a word to describe himself. You know, our heart's desire as a team here at the Mission is that we would allow those words and not the opinion of the crowd, not what we think we know about Jesus, to really shape who we view him to be and consider how he impacts our world. And maybe this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus, let me ask you this. Have we made Jesus too small? I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. These are actual real things that you can buy online. So a little miniature Jesus on a spring that you can put on your dashboard when you're driving your car. Don't really know what for. Maybe like to give you a bit of luck when you drive. Maybe to stop you from crashing. Maybe stop you from getting a parking ticket or a speeding fine. And it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, why would you do that? Why would you put a plastic Jesus on a spring on your dashboard? And yet, actually, how often do we reduce Jesus down into something that he isn't? See, the Pharisees, the crowds, Herod, they all made Jesus small. And how often do we make Jesus too small? Less powerful, more containable, more understandable than he actually is. See, when we think that our sins are too big for God, we've made Jesus too small. Because the thing is, there is nothing that you can do that God didn't know that you were going to do. And the weight of that was dealt with at the cross. And so if you think your sin is too big for Jesus, you made your God too small. When we make praying our last resort and not our first resort, because to be honest, we're not quite convinced that God will answer our prayers, we've made Jesus too small. When we're cynical and we're skeptical, when people talk about what God has done and what God might do, because our hope, which is the foundation of our faith, has been killed, and we no longer think the great I am really is who the great I am says that he is, we've made Jesus too small. When we turn Jesus into a God of our own understanding, not based on the life and the words of Jesus, but based on actually who I think he is. And maybe based on what culture around me says that he is. Maybe based on what some of my friends say that he is. We have made Jesus too small. When Jesus becomes a pocket-sized genie that I carry around with me, or some kind of spiritual guru, or a version of myself but a little bit nicer, we've reduced Jesus down to something smaller than the great I am that he stood there and he claimed to be. So let me ask you this morning, friends, whether you have been about church for a long time or it's your first time in the building this morning, whether you've said that you follow Jesus for donkey's years or it's all relatively new to you, let me ask you this. Who do you say that Jesus is? If he was here now and he said to you, like he said to Peter, who do you say that I am? How would you respond? And not just how would you respond with your words, but what does your life reflect? Who does your life say that Jesus is? Is it the Son of God and the Messiah, or is it something else? Let's pray. Yeah, we say this morning that there is no one like you, Jesus. And so, Spirit of Wisdom, open my eyes again. Open the eyes of my friends this morning. Spirit of Revelation, open our hearts again. Because we want to see you rightly, Jesus. And where we haven't, and where we've made you too small, like God, have mercy on us. And enlarge our perspective of you, Jesus, the great I am. In your name and for your glory. Amen.